Design, luxury and performance together at last. Volvo, proud sponsors of The Last Word on Today FM.
We're going to do motoring now with Michael Sheridan. Last week we spoke about family cars and SUVs came into the equation, but we decided to talk a little bit more about SUVs tonight. You don't need to have a family to enjoy driving an SUV, do you?
No, and it's funny, this is the latest trend that we're all hooked into. People aren't happy with their hatchbacks, they aren't happy with their saloon cars. Everybody wants an SUV. Now, we've come a long way from SUVs being SUVs. The letters stand for Sports Utility Vehicle, and that was basically a vehicle that had a four-wheel drive system that was old school, that could bash its way through jungle and bring you, like Tarzan, into a field of raging torrents of rivers and wade through it and so on. But over the years...
Why was that? What were the characteristics of those cars that allowed you to do that?
Well, they were very fundamental, very agricultural, like a Land Rover Defender. You had an engine and wheels on each corner. The engine drove all four wheels. You had a ladder chassis, a big steel chassis frame,
and then your body was bolted
onto the top of it. And it's very utilitarian and very rough and absolutely horrible to drive, but fantastic at the same time.
It's sort of a bone jerker, wasn't it?
Absolute bone jerker. And you saw Land Cruisers and all of these other vehicles, and then you kind of had the posher ones, Range Rovers and so on, which were huge but still very capable. But what happened was the Nissan Qashqai, which is a name everybody would know, they came along with an SUV that was based on a car. So it didn't have the massive running costs of an SUV. It didn't have the massive build costs of an SUV. So you could buy it for the price of a regular hatchback or a reasonably well-specced hatchback, and you could get into something which would have cost you about 10 or 15 grand more. So this started the sort of the trend. Toyota had the RAV4, and then everybody came along. And the biggest selling car, like in the last couple of years, the Hyundai Tucson, between the Tucson and the Qashqai, they've been doing really well. And the Golf has had to try really hard to stay in the fight with those cars.
Why do you think they're so popular?
You know, there's a couple of reasons. One, the running costs are low and the prices are relatively low compared to what full four-wheel drive off-roaders are. I mean, everybody mistakenly calls them Jeep, but Jeep is a brand going back to the Willys Jeep way back. But there, you get this lovely high driving position, so you're not really aware of it.
That is a big thing.
It's a massive thing.
It gives you a much better sense of security and safety when you're up higher off the road.
But more importantly, it gives you better vision. You've got better observation of what's happening around you, so there's less surprises. Particularly if you're doing rural driving, you got a chance of seeing over the hedge, or seeing through the traffic ahead, and it just makes you feel that little bit more secure on the road. Even though in crash tests, your regular cars, they do as well as SUVs, and in fact, in the old days, a rigid SUV was quite a bad thing for a human to be in a crash, because they weren't designed to sort of crumple up and take all the energy with them. They were designed to be sturdy, so the human would all their internal organs would be rearranged free of charge as the Jeep stayed intact. But with SUVs now and crossovers now, because they're so well designed around a car platform, they're very good in crash tests.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about the physical structure of them, so how they've evolved, because clearly they don't have
a separate chassis and a separate body. No, they're all unibody like regular cars. So while you might have an engine bay, which, you know, could pretty much stand on its own if you sort of cut off the rest of the car itself provides the structure and the rigidity. So most SUVs now are actually two-wheel drive. They don't come in four-wheel drive, and only some offer a four-wheel drive version. But to make a car four-wheel drive, you have to connect those other two wheels via big metal bars to the engine. So they have to get this turning force and additional weight in order to have a four-wheel drive system. But you can get all these fake or faux four-wheel drive systems that act very like a four-wheel drive, that are very clever, but are only driving two wheels. So they're much more economical, so they don't cost as much an arm and a leg to run. And they're lighter, so they're greener. The fuel consumption is pretty decent compared to what larger SUVs were.
They're not cheap to buy, though. Well, no, it depends on which type of one you get, but they're not necessarily cheap, are they?
Well, as we know from our dear friend, the Model X, which has a sort of a pseudo crossover SUV claim to fame, that can be anything up to 200 grand. Your full-fat Range Rover, as we always call it, the top sort of Range Rover, you're looking, by the time you kit it out the way you want it, it's about 150 grand. But there are gorgeous little things, like Suzuki. You can start with a little their version of a town car, which they've given the SUV treatment to, is the Ignis. And, you know, you're talking mid-teens there to get something which is pretty cool. And they're all giving us versions in various sizes now, which is, so the menu we have to choose from is terrific and growing all the time.
What are your favourites?
You know what? So small ones, like the little Suzuki Ignis. Suzuki have a fantastic reputation for making actual genuine off-roaders. So their crossovers are very, very good. And a lot of them are quite capable as well. The Irish car of the year, of course, is the Peugeot 3008, which again, there's a sister version of that, Opel's Grandland X. That's a terrific car. Skoda's Kodiaq is fantastic. And now they've launched the smaller Karoq, which is a rival for Qashqai and Hyundai Tucson. Hyundai Tucson and Qashqai are hugely popular because they get great warranties, they're very reliable and so on. So you can't go far wrong, and you can just see with the sales charts. But there's also other little hidden gems around the place. If you're looking for premium or going posh, we all love an XC90, but there's the new XC40 from Volvo, the small one, which is terrific. There's the Jag E-Pace, the small one as well, which is fantastic. Mercedes GLC, there's lots to choose from. And the great thing is you get all of the creature comforts and you never go off-road. So you're sitting taller. The only downside is you'll generally get a smaller boot than what you would get in the equivalent car that that Jeep is based on.
Okay, lots of comments coming in from listeners. Let's go to them. First modern on-road SUV was the Honda HR-V. Ugly by great to drive.
But a classic now.
They had a new one, but it's just like any of the run-of-the-mill cars now, the new one.
Yeah, the new one is fantastic, but you see the old one, and the old one looks so smart. It had wonderful clean lines, a 1.6 litre engine, a sort of a live rear axle, so its handling wasn't particularly great, but it looked superb, and they're still going, because Honda, if anything, over-engineer their cars, so they last forever.
Another listener says the only reason you're higher up in SUVs is because everyone else is driving a car. If everyone goes down the SUV route, then you're back at square one.
I know, and that's the funny thing. And you see the thing as well, it's kind of laughable when you think people driving in the cities and you see everybody in an SUV and they've no more desire to go into a muddy field or the need to climb over anything than the man in the moon. But everybody is going that way, and it's a fashion and it's a trend. People like the chunky style.
Well, hang on, fashions and trends. One listener says SUV drivers are the worst on the road because they have a false sense of security and they hog the outside lane too. I find them the most aggressive on the road.
Oh, now that would be one which I couldn't agree with at all. I think that may be just down to meeting a couple of nasty people. Don't blame the car, blame the person.
Okay, another one says that's the problem with SUVs. They give drivers a sense of security that lessens how much care they take on the road. Now, false security, unfortunately, is for anyone hit by one.
Well, that's the thing. You see, all cars now are so well insulated, so comfortable. You can have, I came in here with my heated steering wheel on, my heated seat on in the Kia Stinger I have on test. And if you hop into something like, say, a Range Rover, which is so plush and gorgeous, if you don't pay attention, you literally start then believing that you're royalty and that everybody's less than you and they should just move out of your way because you feel so fantastic behind the wheel. And until you do it and until you drive it, you don't really understand how this sort of sense of power can absolutely corrupt you and turn you into maybe not the ideal driver you might wave at.
One listener taking issue with you saying the Defender was never an SUV. The Discovery was, but the Defender was always aimed at people who were willing to sacrifice comfort for off-road capabilities.
Absolutely. And sure, look, I've driven Defenders through riverbeds at nighttime. They are absolutely astonishing. No, it's just the name was hijacked and it became a fashionable thing and now it's the general thing. And even we've even shifted from SUV to crossover now as well. So there's all sorts of names.
Another listener says, oh please, 20 years ago saw tons of Pajeros that never got Pajeros. Their wheels dirty and huge bull bars on them.
God bless the Pajero, and it's still on the go. The Army kept Mitsubishi here afloat with a good contract for Pajeros, and of course it's called the Shogun in the UK. There's some, and they're full-size proper off-roaders which you can take anywhere.
Listener says Fiat Panda 4x4 drove one up the Dolomites. It was amazing.
And you'll still see them anytime you go to Italy. You'll see them parked like mountain goats in olive groves, old original Mark 1 4x4s, and they were petrol powered and they're just classics. They're absolutely fantastic.
Good point, another listener. SUV is great for people with back issues because of the
height. The access point is really good, and that's why a lot of young families like them as well, because they're that bit taller. So once you've got a reasonably wide opening rear door, it makes it much easier to get kids in and out, and also just your hip point is much higher, so you can just slip in and slip out.
Okay, we do drive a Volvo XC90. I would just say one thing, the boot isn't particularly big.
It's tiny, but when you have it as a 5-seater, it's great, but that's not often the case with your lot.
Listeners want to know, are there any electric ones?
You know what? There's loads coming. But at the moment, you're very restricted, and it really Tesla only are the ones offering a full electric one. But it's interesting because even just in the last day or two, Porsche said it's not going to sell diesels anymore. So everybody is heading towards electrification or hybrid. And actually, Toyota have a fantastic the CHR, the Coupe Highrider, and that's a hybrid that you can get, and it's terrific. And it's a rival for Qashqai, Tucson, and that's they're selling like hotcakes. They can't get enough of them.
Okay, one listener says, I adore my 161 Qashqai. So, hybrids, electric models, they're on the way.
They're on the way. They'll be on the menu. And that shape, but the shape of all of these SUVs and crossovers, that's the shape that is the current trend. And they're putting all of the safety aids and everything else into them. So, dynamically, they're very good as well.
Mark says, how incredibly ignorant of that texture to suggest that all SUV drivers are the worst. I hate that kind of stereotyping. We all know it's the drivers of BMWs.
So, you know what?
That's a joke, though, for anyone from BMW.
We're here all week. That's a classic. That's our favourite. But again, you know, if most BMW drivers actually realised they had indicators. Oh, did I go there? Oh no, apologies to BMW Ireland, who are fantastic, and they're selling like spades as well. You can't get enough BMW.
Okay, a listener wants to know, think of investing in a Volvo V40 cross country. Any feedback on that?
Yeah, well, there's a new V60 coming out, which is absolutely gorgeous. They just revealed pictures of it, and if you can stretch to that and hang on for that, that's going to be brilliant. But any of their off-road versions, like their X, their cross-country version of the V90 Estate, is absolutely fantastic and would be my one-stop shop car that I would love to have.
All right, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much, Michael Sheridan, for joining us for Last Word on Wheels. We'll see you again next Thursday.
Design, luxury and performance together at last. Volvo, proud sponsors of The Last Word on Today FM.